Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, to your world, to your reality, to the divine, and all the other things in between. It affects every part of our lives. And so I'm starting to get a lot more questions about how to actually apply this. How does it work within our lives? And some of these questions are fantastically challenging. So today we're going to be talking about finding real love in an age obsessed with looks. And this is really a telling question. We're going to dive into that. And take a look at the inner workings of where that really comes from. Before we get started today, quick shout out to new listeners in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Yes, yes, West Virginia. Love West Virginia. In fact, at this moment, as I'm recording this, I'm probably 30 minutes away from you right now. So, welcome. Thank you for this connection. We're so excited to have you on board. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, just click the link in the show notes. That'll take you over to the community page, also known as the Connect page. If you're on the website, just look for the link that says Connect. The little form there you can fill out that comes directly to me. You'll hear back directly from me. So don't be shy. If you'd like to remain anonymous, that's a pretty popular option. Just let me know. Okay, so last time we were talking about real love, how to recognize the difference between just attachment, conditional love, and actual real love or divine love, which is what we're really talking about when we say the words real love. We're really saying we want divine love, unconditional love. And how to recognize that. So the next question that came on top of that was about, okay, so now that we know the difference and how to recognize real love, it makes you realize how much is really just attachment and conditional love in your life. Don't get depressed. Real love exists. It really does. It just may not be in all the places you might expect it to be. So then comes this question. Is it entirely possible for someone to love you who you are as a person, as the average looking or in this below average guy? I often see women dating and marrying men who are deemed as attractive, muscular, tall, toned, handsome, etc. It seems to me that a majority of women, especially young women, place a great deal of importance on physical attraction. To add to that, we as humans can't deny to whom we are attracted. Therefore, should a man and woman get married, if he is average or below average, his wife may be thinking of men more attractive than he is, which would imply that her love is not essentially whole. How then is true love between individuals possible if physical attraction is at the helm of this proverbial ship that guides us to our partners? Really good question. This question comes out of New Jersey. So this is, there's a lot here. So let's start bit by bit. First of all, we want to find someone capable of real unconditional love, right? That's what you're saying. How do we find real love in this age seemingly obsessed with looks? Well, what that means is you've got to find someone who's capable of real unconditional love, who has the capacity for real unconditional love. And the reason they'd have that capacity is because they've already developed the capacity to love themselves unconditionally. But you can't assess that about someone until you get to know them, right? You can't, most people can't just know that with one look. If you have developed yourself all the way through stage 11, then you can actually know this about someone from a distance across the room. But if you're not there yet, then you kind of just have to get to know them and look for the evidence. But looks and physical attraction are the first thing that sparks us to act and actually strike up a conversation, right? It's the looks. It is. We are humans. We are mammals. We are sparked by physical attraction, which is a chemical thing and a mental thing and a physical thing. It's a pheromone thing. It's got a lot of different components, but that animal nature of physical, chemical, biochemical attraction, which for a lot of people can be very visual, you know, certain body types. But it's also, you know, a chemical and mental component. There's a subconscious component based on your past experiences. There's all kinds of different things. But that's the thing that kind of makes us act, to actually strike up a conversation, to actually assess whether or not this person is even capable of unconditional love, much less unconditional love for you. So this is where it gets difficult. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, as the saying goes. And the human species is driven to mate with the best possible option. The thing is, criteria for what makes the best possible option varies widely. And it changes over time for each of us. So it changes across cultures. It's different across cultures, but it's also different for each person over the course of your lifetime. And that's the key. When we're young, physical looks, a nice body, a nice face, tend to dominate the criteria, right? When you're young, when you're a teenager, when you're in your early 20s, you're looking for someone that by your definition is a hottie. And that can tend to kind of go along with whatever the cultural norm is of hotness in your society. In the American society, yeah, it's what you talked about. It's muscular men for the most part. But there's an entire section of young women who love the dad bod, who love the chubby bearded tattooed guy. It's really quite personal. But when you're young, it does tend to be you're going for a certain look. But that look might be the dad bod. In other cultures and other parts of the world, skinny women are, thin is considered not good. And they want a voluptuous, chubby, fat woman because that implies health and potential to hang in there through tougher times. Some cultures like a large woman. Some cultures like a thinner woman. Some cultures like a chubby dude. Some cultures like, you know, a low body fat kind of guy. There really is no one definition. But since we're going to try to generalize here, when we're young, we do tend to go with some kind of physical look we're going for as opposed to some mental aspect or emotional aspect or spiritual aspect. I mean, after all, you know, the leading man in romance films are always handsome and otherwise perfect. And in this social media age, we even see people choosing a partner based on how the Instagram pics will work out. Please don't do this. This is a terrible, terrible idea. But over time, we come to see that looks don't always mean kindness, and looks don't always mean a good heart or a quick wit or a sense of humor. Looks don't always mean protection, stability, reliability, a good parent, or other qualities that you may come to crave. And that's why it changes over time. So as we're very young, yeah, we're all about the looks. But then you get burned and you go, oh, wait, I think I want someone who's kind. I want someone who's capable of loving me unconditionally because they love themselves unconditionally. I want someone who's going to be a good parent to our children. I want someone who will support my dreams right? All these other qualities become massively more important over time. They really do. You know, that good-looking guy may be super nice and is a great potential partner, and he might be an abusive jerk. You know, that beautiful woman might be brilliant, might be kind, might be a good mother, or she might be a high-maintenance nightmare. And you learn this when you're young. You make these mistakes and you learn this. And you're absolutely right that physical attraction is what starts off any relationship. It's the gatekeeper. If you're going to find real love in the form of a life partner, you're going to have to pique their attraction first, and they will have to pique yours. But here's the good news. I think you might be making some false assumptions. Not all people are attracted to the same thing. Not all women or men are on the lookout for the bigger, better deal. And because of that, nobody, especially you, is not below average. I don't care. By what definition are you below average? By your definition. And that's what you need to work on. Some like the muscular type. Some prefer the pudgy tattooed dad bod. Some like skinny women. Some like women with plenty of padding. Some people find intellect sexy. Some want a partner who can make them laugh. A sense of humor. Stability, protection. Some are looking for a partner with specific hobbies or specific interests. So sit outside a cafe as the weather gets warmer there in New Jersey. Go into the city. And watch the couples walking by of all ages. And you will see all kinds of combinations. You're not just going to see beautiful people with beautiful people. You're going to see women who fit the standard of beauty with men who are nowhere near the standard of beauty. And people go, but that's totally normal, isn't it? Oh, well, he's got money. Or maybe he just makes her laugh. Maybe he makes her feel protected and loved and appreciated for who she really is. Maybe he understands her insecurities and he helps her to heal them and unpack her baggage. You don't know why they're together. What it was in each other that sparked interest for them. The harder question is whether those couples you see going by have real love, that divine, unconditional love. That's the harder question. And that's going to really depend entirely on whether each individual is capable of real love for themselves. And that's really what it comes down to. Successful couples happen when each individual has first worked on themselves to the point that they know who they are. They like who they are. And they are confident in their strengths. And they have forgiven themselves for whatever they need to forgive themselves for, and so on. When you know who you are and you like who you are, that energy radiates from you and is very attractive to friends and to potential partners alike. And remember, this is age-driven. It sounds like you're young. And when you're young, attention from potential partners is the foundation of your self-esteem. Sometimes when you're older and maybe you've just come out of a divorce, attention from potential partners, it can be mistakenly the foundation for how you see yourself. But, you know, if they like you, if women like you, it validates your manhood, right? And if they don't, you think there's something wrong with you. But it's time to start validating yourself. This is step one. As usual, the answer is to work on you. Step one, you need to start validating yourself to the point that you recognize that you're not below average in any way. And it also sounds like you're experiencing a lot of time in stage seven, which is the dark night of the soul. It's questioning everything. This isn't a bad thing. This is a very important stage. Very, very important. So although you're trying to honestly assess yourself for the dating scene, that's important. You know, you're trying to be honest, like, what have I got to offer? But it also sounds like you don't like yourself very much right now, and you don't think you have a lot to offer. And that combination is making you look for excuses to avoid the quest for real love, right? It's easier to not try than it is to feel the rejection. So the key is to get to know you. Get comfortable and confident with you exactly as you are, and develop what you have to offer. You have strengths. You have things that a partner will want. If for some reason you're convinced that could never be looks, then what else is there? Sense of humor, stability, dedicated father. Can you make her laugh? Can you support her dreams? Can you help her find herself and learn to love herself and forgive herself? There's so much more to bring to the party than looks, and older women know this. Get burned enough, you know it. This is perfect timing for you to work on you, because the ladies in your age range, which I believe is younger, may need some time to learn that looks should not be top priority. They'll get it. Give them time. And I'm going to recommend something. Let's just work on you. And I don't mean get you to a gym, get you a membership. I mean, let's work on your mind. Let's work on your heart. Let's work on your soul. Let's get you to the point that you can love yourself unconditionally, confidently, know your strengths, validate yourself, and you're out there living a fulfilling life of all your favorite activities. And then you know what happens? Real love comes. Real love comes from what seems to be external, like partners, once real love comes from the internal for yourself. And I realize that if you have not found that yet, it sounds really kind of trite and contrived and such, but it's the reality. You can't love someone else unconditionally if you don't love yourself unconditionally. You need to develop your capacity to love. And that does not mean losing yourself in someone else. That doesn't mean all these things that our society has taught us that real love means. It means real love. To love someone, to see their flaws, to see their weaknesses, to see their mistakes, to see their humanity, and love them because of it. In as much as you love yourself and you see that you are them, because we are all one. And you see them as an aspect of yourself, and you fall in love with their humanity, their reality. Not their strength necessarily. You fall in love with the whole package because you've learned to love your whole package. And that's the key. And I can hear you now. I'm going to get some emails on this one. Hey, easy for you to talk. You're considered by American standards attractive. Yeah, by American standards I am. By some other standards, I'm so not. It's a very individual thing. But what happened? How did I find real love? Well, that's easy for you. You look good. Okay. Yeah, well, all right. That does widen my field of options. But when I met Ruben, I saw him across an airplane boarding area. And because I had developed myself to the point of love for myself, I was feeling my mojo that day. I was just enjoying life. I was just excited to be traveling. And when I saw him and the whole world blurred out around him, the first impression I got was kind, intelligent, safe, trustworthy, a protector? And I said, yes, that's what I'm looking for. And that's why I spoke to him. That's why I struck up a conversation, because of all those things. Secondarily, yeah, I think he's a total hottie by my definition. But that was a bonus, because I was old enough and had been through enough life experience to know that kindness and protection and the ability to love unconditionally is so much more important. Give it time. Work on you. You know this. You know that's the answer. It may not be the one you want to hear. What you're looking for is an excuse of, it's just all about looks, so just abandon the whole thing. Because rejection sucks, and I have not had to experience that as a male in this lifetime, but I can imagine. But no excuses, just work on you, and the perfect partner will be brought to you on a silver platter. All right, if you have other questions and thoughts about this, click the link in the show notes. That'll take you over to the community page, also called the Connect page, at the website, and you can drop me a note right there. Let me know what you're thinking. I love these audience questions. You're going to start to see more and more of them as they're coming in. And what happens is I write you back directly, and then I take those answers and turn them into articles and podcasts. Because if you have a question, I guarantee lots of people have the exact same question across the world, regardless of which country they're in. So thanks for joining me today. Remember to work on you. And as always, I'm wishing you, Perna Asati, complete connection.